Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. The bye week is over. We're getting ready for another game this upcoming Sunday against the Detroit Lions. To do so, we have a guest joining us on the phones this morning. Friend of the show, we have Howie Magner of Milwaukee Magazine joining us. Mr. Magner, how you doing this fine morning?
I'm doing well. Please don't call me Mr. It just makes me terribly uncomfortable. How you guys doing?
Very good. I'll avoid that. But Howie, you're representing Milwaukee Magazine here on the show, and I just got my copy in the mail this week with Packers wide receiver James Jones on the cover. Could you tell us a little bit about James Jones coming in for a little bit of a photo shoot there at Milwaukee Magazine? Give us the scoop. Give us the story.
Sure. James got involved with the magazine. I want to say that I ran into some of his representatives out at Lammy Sports earlier in the year at one of our launch parties, and we just kind of got to talking and about the story that James has and everything that he's involved with. And I don't know if your listeners are too familiar with the magazine, but one of the things that we do is we kind of cater to a broad range of readers. And to be perfectly honest with you, a lot of those readers are bigger fans of fashion than they are of sports. I know that might be hard for some folks to believe, but there are those people out there. So we've actually got a great style person on staff at the magazine, Claire Hannon, who does a lot of things, and she kind of got involved, and it was kind of a conversation about how could we get James involved with the magazine, and the answer ended up being, well, why don't we dress him up and make him look good and do a style shoot at one of the neat facilities in town here that it's kind of a youth outreach program. It's called Journey House, and I don't know if your fans are familiar with this, but the Packers donated an old practice field to Journey House a few years back, and they finally got enough of the funding to put the field out. And so basically there's these youth sports teams that are playing on this old Packers practice field, and we thought it might be neat to kind of use that as the background for the style shoot with James Jones. They did not ask my fashion input on what James Jones should wear, and I don't blame them, because all you got to do is take one look at the stuff that I wear out the door every morning, and you would not be pleased. But he came by the offices early one morning and kind of got all made up and everything, and they took him out to this this old Packers practice field and this youth sports facility at Mitchell Park, and put together what I think is a pretty neat package. I mean, you know, we're so used to seeing these guys in their helmets and pads, and you don't really think about it, but they clean up pretty good, man. I mean, Jones, and from everything that I hear, I wasn't out of the shoot, but he was really fun to work with, really easygoing. And I think they can actually go to MilwaukeeMag.com these days and take a look at a lot of the photos. But it's kind of a different side of athletes that you don't really see. It just was a lot of fun, and we were happy to do it and wrapped it all into our best of package. Folks might be familiar with that issue. We had Aaron Rodgers involved with it last year. So just kind of a fun little thing we wanted to do, and we think it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, so as part of your best of issue, you named the best Packers decor to Journey House, this NFL turf field they have out there. Tell me a little, what is Journey House exactly? Because I think it's really cool that kids out there are playing on a field that has Packers on it, the stenciled on the end zones, things like that. What is Journey House exactly?
I'll read it to you right from their website. I was prepared for this question. Journey House builds itself as a center for family learning and youth athletic, a community infrastructure that increases education, reduces unemployment and crime, strengthens families, and revitalizes neighborhoods. And as part of that, they've got an athletics program out there, and part of that athletics program is youth football. And so, you know, it's just kind of a really special deal for these kids in an urban environment who, you know, a lot of times they're having trouble just finding, you know, facilities to play on, period. And here, you know, through, you know, the donation that the Packers made at this old field turf practice field, I mean, it's a $300,000 field that they pulled off the Nitschke practice field and donated it. And I believe they did that back in 2009, but it, you know, it took the locals 4 years to kind of get the funding to install it and get it, you know, in a playable condition. But they finally done that. And can you imagine if you're an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old and you're running around on the same practice field the Green Bay Packers had run around on in the past, and it's got Packers in the end zone and everything. It just has to be a pretty neat feeling. I haven't been over to the field myself, but I'm kind of tempted to go over and run some wind sprints on the thing. I just think it'd be a really neat deal, and I have to imagine that it's getting a great reception over there.
I do think that is really cool. That's definitely saying the Packers can be proud of and the community of Milwaukee can be proud of. Tell me more about James Jones here in that, you know, this is a guy who led the NFL in receiving touchdowns last season. Give me your impressions of James Jones as a player, Howie. He's also a guy who's a free agent after this season. Is he part of the Packers' future?
I would think so. I mean, what one of the things that always I guess kind of strikes me about James Jones is the anonymity of the guy. I mean, here's the guy that led the league in touchdown receptions last year, and I wonder how many Packers fans would recognize him off the field.
They'd recognize the turtleneck.
Is that what it comes down to? So, based on his fashion choices. So I guess we did do it a good thing picking him to be a style model. But no, I just wonder if Packers fans appreciate everything that he did for the team last year and what the team is counting on him doing this year. I mean, I know early in his career that the main thing he had the reputation for was dropping balls, but I would think that last season he put that behind him. And he didn't come out of the gate strong in the first game this year, but I think he rectified that going forward. And the other thing that I think is kind of refreshing about him is, you know, it would have been real easy for a guy like Jones to have kind of complained after that first game about not getting any balls, as some, you know, former Packers receivers may have done in the past. He didn't. He said, it's no big deal. We're part of a team here. And if the ball's got to go to somebody else, it's got to go to somebody else. He's not the typical diva receiver, I don't think. At least that's my opinion. I don't know what the broader opinions are out there. And that's certainly not a reason to keep him on your team. But he's not only, you know, a good locker room guy. He's a good locker room guy with a whole lot of talent. And I really do think that for the Packers offense to do well this year, James Jones has to do well this year. I think one of the reasons they were able to let Greg Jennings goes so seamlessly is because they had a guy like James Jones ready to step in and pick up some of the slack.
You know, last year, I think it was rather telling. Last year, when Greg Jennings, Donald Driver were still on the roster, James Jones was voted as a postseason captain for the Packers last year. One of, you know, an honor only six players on the entire team get, and he got it ahead of guys like Greg Jennings, Donald Driver. I think that is a little bit telling how he's viewed in the locker room, at least. So, you know, congratulations to James Jones there. We're talking to Howie Magner, dubbed the Sports Nut at Milwaukee Magazine here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central this morning. Let's talk a little bit about this upcoming game this weekend, Howie. Where do you think this Packers team stacks up coming off the bye? They're 1-2. Are they ready to be a more consistent team?
I think so. I'd be stunned if they don't win this game, Brian. Not just because of the history of Detroit coming in and what they haven't won in Green Bay since, what is it, 91?
Yeah.
the last time they won here. So, I mean, they've got that going for them, but I don't think that's the reason they're going to win. I just think they're a good football team that's underperformed up to this point. I think a lot of people are looking at the Cincinnati game and seeing what happened there, and they're really starting to hit the panic button because you combine that with a 1-2 record and what happened out in San Francisco, and all of a sudden, oh, my God, what's wrong with the Packers? Well, look, take a little bit of a closer look at it. They were in the game in San Francisco until the end, and you can make the argument that they probably should have won that one if their defense could have held up down the stretch. You look at the Cincinnati game, Cincinnati basically got 14 free points. I mean, the kickoff fumble return right in the shadow of Green Bay's end zone, and then the fourth and inches fumble and return for a touchdown by Franklin. How often are things like that going to happen, A, and happen in the same game, B? I don't think very often. And so I think that's kind of magnifying the problems with the Packers right now. I think they're a more disciplined team than they showed in Cincinnati. I think the offense, particularly with a bye week to prepare, should be in pretty good shape. And I have found that McCarthy's teams, as the season tends to continue, tend to get better in their execution. And it seems to me like this is really the perfect time to kind of put things all together. I know Detroit's an improved team. I know they've got talent. I don't know that they're quite as good as everybody seems to be ready to anoint them as. And the other thing is, I think the Packers realize how important this game is. I think you even heard a couple of them in the locker room talking about how it's a must win. And in a way it is, because they're 1-2, Detroit's 3-1. You lose this game, you're basically 3 games behind the division foe. And you can really start kind of writing off a division title and start looking at the wild card as your playoff path. I tend to think the Packers are going to come out pretty ready for this game, and I'd be shocked if they don't win it.
You know, I'm going to pose you a question that was actually posed to me by Bart Winkler at K107, and this isn't something that the people in the Packers locker room would even address, but because we're just part of the media, we can feel free to address this. Let's just say the Packers lose this game. They're at 1-3. What happens to this Packers team at 1-3 if that were to happen? Is it time to hit the panic button then?
I don't know that you hit the panic button. I think you take a realistic look at where you are and maybe reevaluate some things. I do think that's kind of what the Packers did after the Cincinnati game. They took a look at where they were with Ross and decided it wasn't a good spot, and they cut him. So I think, panic is a bad thing to do if you're in the business of professional sports, and I think to try to avoid it. I mean, all you got to do is look down at Tampa Bay and what a mess that is. That strikes me as a team that's panicking, and I don't think Packers fans would want to have a lot in common with Tampa Bay Bucks fans. But I think one of the things that has really marked this Packers team under the McCarthy era has been its professionalism. And I think a lot of that credit goes to Aaron Rodgers, too, because I think he's one of the most professional quarterbacks in the league, right up there with guys like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Greg Jennings would disagree with you.
Well, Greg Jennings is in Minnesota, and that might be one of the reasons why he may not have fit in. Which really surprised me. As a bit of a side note, is it me or did Greg Jennings fool a lot of people when he was here into being kind of a straight arrow type of guy, a team first type of guy, and then he got the last year and really took an opposite turn and went to Minnesota. I've very rarely been as surprised at how things turned out with a player as I have been with Greg Jennings. Has it been a big topic of conversation in Packerdom, or did people kind of see this coming?
Oh, no, I don't think anybody saw it coming. I think you saw pieces of it his final year in Green Bay when he seemed destined to hit free agency rather than, taking a Packers up on, a contract extension ahead of time. And there was the whole thing with his sister and all that. But, yeah, I think people are dumbfounded. It's hard to believe the lengths Greg Jennings has gone to say bad things about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers organization. I can't believe it. It really is. It's blown my mind.
I mean, I know everybody saw it last year. I just didn't know if there were signs before last year. I certainly didn't see any, and I actually covered him back when he was playing at Western Michigan University, and he seemed to be a consummate pro even back then. So I'm probably as surprised as anybody at how it turned out with Jennings and the Packers. But getting back to the Packers, I just really think that this is a team that has its stuff together. And I think even were they to lose this weekend to Detroit, I still don't think it's the type of team that would panic and collapse. I mean, go back to the Super Bowl run. There wasn't a team in a worse situation when it comes to the playoffs than the Green Bay Packers were about two-thirds of the season. And they still pulled it together and put together a Super Bowl run. I don't think that a team that went through that type of experience would be willing to push the panic button and kind of fall apart with three quarters of the season left to go. I think they would get together. I think they'd take a realistic look at where they were. I think they'd regroup and they'd press forward and try to do what they should be doing, which is winning games. This is still, in my opinion, one of the better teams in the league, and I expect them to show it as the season moves along.
I think I've gotten the impression from you, but I just want to make sure the official prediction is the Packers this weekend.
Yeah, I think the Packers will win. And to be honest with you, I think it might not be that close. I think you might see a bit of a market correction when it comes to the NFC North this week. And I'll even give you a score. How's that? I will say the Packers will win 31-21.
Wow, very good. I do think the Packers are going to win, but I've got the Lions covering the spread, so I do think they're going to give them a close game. But I do have we're together. The Packers are going to win. Howie, before I let you go, how can people get a copy of Milwaukee Magazine with James Jones on the cover?
Well, there's a couple of ways. You could call our offices here, and you're going to ask me what's the phone number, and I unfortunately don't have the phone number in front of me. But
we can put it up on our live blog later.
There you go. You could certainly go to the website. Most of the things from the magazine is not online just yet. Some of it will eventually get up on our website at MilwaukeeMag.com. But folks could go over there and, take a look. There's a section there called Magazine that has quite a bit of content from the magazine posted. There's another story sports fans might be interested in about the future of the Bucks and the Bradley Center that Doug Russell did for us. So a fair amount of sports, actually, in this month's magazine. It's the October issue. James Jones is there on the cover with a big best of T-shirt across his chest. And just head over to MilwaukeeMag.com. Find the contact us, and that'll probably give you a pretty good start on getting a copy of the magazine.
Well, of course, newsstands too, correct?
Sure. I suppose I should have said that, right? Yeah. Only the most common way to get it. They could have done that too. Or you can subscribe and get it every month delivered to your mailbox.
There we go. Howie, thank you for joining us here on a Friday morning. I appreciate it, and we'll do it again.
All right, sounds good, Brian. Take care.
You too. Howie Magner of Milwaukee Magazine joining us on Railbird Central here on a Friday morning. Thanks to him, and thanks for you, the listener, for joining us as we continue to preview the Packers game with the Detroit Lions this upcoming weekend. I going back to this whole must-win type of thing, I'm not sure it's a must-win for the Packers, but I'll give it this caveat. I'll tell you this. If the Packers want a home playoff game this year, if you want to see a playoff game hosted at Lambeau Field in January in the elements, this game might be a must-win for that. I mean, I could see him turning the season around after a 1-3 start, should it come to that. I can see him possibly qualifying for the playoffs, perhaps because there's just so much parity and maybe even a 9-7 record gets you in. But you know, that you lose this week and you're falling way behind your own division rival, not to mention any other teams in the NFC. So I will say that about this Packers team that, you know, if you want to see a home game, and I do, It's now been quite a while since two seasons since the Packers' last home playoff game against the Giants, you know, two seasons ago, and that ended up being a loss. I'm ready to see a Packers playoff win. So there is that to kind of look forward to here with the Packers game against the Lions this upcoming weekend. You know, this I wanted to talk a little bit about the Packers injuries, you know, as they kind of the run up to the game here and things like that. I do think part of the reason you're going to see a better Packers team and perhaps lending credence to Howie Maigner's notion that this team could just really turn on the Jets is that this bye week was needed because of the injuries the Packers have. And I do think they've gotten healthy with the exception of Casey Hayward already, you know, kind of weird. Yesterday we find out Packers cornerback Casey Hayward, he practiced, but he's already been ruled out. You know, this hamstring injury is still kind of lingering, and I guess the Packers are easing him back into action. But, you know, other than him, though, I mean, let's take a look at all the guys who missed at least half of the Cincinnati game. At least half. Linebacker Clay Matthews. Not a given he's going to play this weekend, but based upon the fact he was a full participant yesterday at practice, I'd say it's a very good chance, and we'll learn his status here later today as the NFL teams give their game day status projections this afternoon. But, Clay Matthews missed half the last game. JerMichael Finley suffered that concussion in the first quarter of the Cincinnati game. Eddie Lacy missed the entire game with a concussion of his own. John Kuhn missed the Cincinnati game with a hamstring. Safety Morgan Burnett has missed not only the last game, but the first three games of the year with a hamstring issue. All those five guys, I mean, is it really any surprise the Packers lost to the Bengals, considering for at least half the game they didn't have Clay Matthews, they didn't have JerMichael Finley, they didn't have Eddie Lacy, they didn't have Morgan Burnett, they didn't have John Kuhn? Is that now any surprise the Packers lost that game? But my point being, those guys are all going to be back this weekend. I mean, how much better is the Packers secondary going to be with Morgan Burnett? Seriously, the Packers safeties have been a combination of MD Jennings, Jerron McMillan, and Chris Banjo. That isn't striking fear into any opponent in the NFL. I'm not sure Morgan Burnett strikes fear into anyone either, but he's just so consistent. He's a guy who doesn't make mistakes out there. And that's what the Packers need right now, especially facing a guy like Kelvin Johnson, you know, this game. You know, best receiver in the NFL, hands down, in my opinion. I mean, there's other good guys out there, Larry Fitzgerald, to give him a run for his money. But if you ask me to rank the wide receivers, Kelvin Johnson's at the top of my list. And you know, that the Packers are going to need him this week. Packers are going to need Morgan Burnett to help stop Kelvin Johnson this week. I mean, this is a dangerous Lions offense. That you know, it's just the talent level in Detroit that I do think is so good. They just, you know, under Jim Schwartz, they haven't seemed to put it all together, and perhaps part of the reason is the coaching. I don't know if Jim Schwartz is the guy to get the Lions over the hump, you know, so to speak. But the talent level is there. Between Johnson and on offense, they have Matthew Stafford. And now they have Reggie Bush, who's doing a good job there. And I'll tell you what, the Packers can do everything in their power to shut down Johnson. And they have in the past, or at least limited his, production. Tremont Williams in the past has done a really good job lining across from Megatron. And I don't know, maybe that job goes to Sam Shields now. But, Kelvin Johnson, though, and this, the, you know, or pardon me, getting back to Reggie Bush here, It strikes fear into me a little bit. You know, when you pass, you so frequently have linebackers going up against running backs in pass coverage, and that means guys like AJ Hawk and Brad Jones in pass coverage against a guy like Reggie Bush, and that is not good. You know, AJ Hawk's been exposed in pass coverage before. You know, against guys like, you know, Darren Sproles springs to mind last season. You know, you're getting a slower linebacker against a quicker running back, and that can be disaster. Albeit, you know, to his credit, AJ Hawk has done a good job in pass coverage so far this season. Remember when made that one pass breakup? What did that come the first game of the year against the 49ers? He made this diving pass breakup. Good job to AJ Hawk there. But I'm just worried about, you know, more so AJ Hawk in the middle of the field than I am him getting to the sidelines. Lateral quickness. You know, no doubt about it. Reggie Bush is going to win the lateral quickness, you know, matchup between him and AJ Hawk and Brad Jones for that matter too. So that scares me a little bit. How are they going to stop both Johnson and Reggie Bush? You know, there are issues there that the Packers do have to worry about. And then on the defensive side of the football, you know, on the defensive line especially, they have the pair of first round draft choices, Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley. And you know, say what you will about Ndamukong Suh being a dirty player, he's a talented player. I mean, he's off to a good start this year. Whereas, you know, maybe in previous years, you know, people have kind of said maybe he's overrated. Well, he's off to a really good start this year. You know, and I think he's always a threat. And you know, you line up Nick Fairley next to him, and that's a darn good Lions defensive line that's able to put some pressure on the quarterback. I mean, the matchup of the interior Packers offensive line, you know, the guards and center versus the interior of the Lions defensive line, that's a big matchup. That's a big matchup. Not unlike what they faced against Geno Atkins in Cincinnati, but you know, this one's too deep here with the Lions with Fairley and Sue, whereas you know, the tackles kind of came more into the equation when you're facing Cincinnati and their 3-4 defense, and you kind of saw how David Bakhtiari was exposed a little bit in the last game. Hopefully they'll be taking a step up. But yeah, big time matchup here. And the Lions, like I said, that talent level is what makes them dangerous and a dangerous team. So, you know, I gave my prediction on K107 this morning. I do have the Lions keeping it close. I do have them covering the spread, which I think has been right hovering right around a touchdown for the Packers. In fact, I'm surprised it's as high as it is, considering the Lions 3-1 record. You know, I think I've seen 6.5 points. You know, Packers giving 6.5, giving 7. I think the Lions keep it close, if not pull off the upset, I guess. You know, but I don't see the upset happening. I think this is a team that's going to be energized coming off the bye. It's going to be a healthy team. And you know, I just, you know, the bye week, I think, is going to do wonders for the Packers. You know, not even just the injury. I mean, take a look at Dayton Jones, who I think has been dealing with that ankle injury ever since the preseason, and just really kind of hampered his ability to be effective, you know, the first few games of the season. I think this bye week is going to do wonders for him, and you're going to see a better Dayton Jones. I think all the rookies are going to take a step up now. You know, they've had the offseason, they've had training camp, they've had a few games to get, you know, their feet under them. Now they're, you know, they're used to the bright lights of the NFL. I think you're going to start seeing bigger contributions from Dayton Jones, from Eddie Lacy, from Jonathan Franklin, and hopefully the rest of the rookies, you know, start stepping up their game as well. David Bakhtiari. I do think that this team's going to get on a roll, and it starts this week. I do think the Packers are going to start building momentum, and it's going to snowball. This game is packing the snowball together. You know, there's no snow out yet here. Apparently, there is in Denver. I'm hearing they're already getting a snowstorm out there in Denver right now as we speak. My heart goes out to you. Seeing snowstorms in October a little bit too early yet, but Packers going to pack the snowball this Sunday. They're going to pack it, and then the rest of the season is just going to start rolling downhill and pick up momentum. So that'll do it for a Friday morning edition of Railbird Central here, folks. Thank you so much for listening to us. Stay tuned to your Packers news needs all weekend long here at Cheesehead TV. We'll have more information later in the day after the Packers practice. They release their official injury report and game day status projections, things like that. So we will see you then. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll be back on Monday morning with another edition of Railbird Central. I've already got our guest all lined up on Monday. We'll have Rob Reichel, who has just released the recent book, Packers Pride, Green Bay Greats Share Their Favorite Moments, co-authored it with Packers great Leroy Butler. We're going to talk to him about the book. We're going to talk to him about the Lions game. So excited for that on Monday morning, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, as we have a show every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. So join us then. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack. Go.